We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Good morning, everyone.
Providence School Superintendent Chris Marr, Rhode Island spent $75 million in federal Race to the Top grant funding on things like teacher training, new teacher evaluation, a brand new online data tool. What effect can you see from that spending in a district like Providence?
The way I understand it, in the state, much of this was spent on curriculum development and on aligning our teacher practices and our curriculum to the Common Core and PARC.
Is it helping?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's way too soon to tell. I think we have a tendency in education to look at 1 year of test scores and make a whole bunch of judgments. And I think we need to look at 3 to 5 year trends on PARC and see how we're doing. Providence, our scores went up in both English and math across the board at all grade levels this year. Still far from where we need them to be, but we were pleased with that initial increase. Now that all students have to take the test on a computer instead of with paper and pencil, we will see if that changes our scores next year or if we continue to go up.
One big challenge in Providence is a high rate of chronic absenteeism, and teachers always tell me, of course, we can't help students who aren't in our classrooms. Is Providence having any success addressing absenteeism?
Absolutely. We've been recognized by the White House, President Obama's My Brother's Keeper initiative. We were one of the districts that was highlighted. We were brought down to D.C. I think we reduced chronic absenteeism by over 5% last year, which is a big number. It's one of the most stubborn numbers in public education to move. And that was done through a lot of hard work with partners and mentorship. So it's older students, teachers, other staff members with partnerships like City Year, making extra phone calls home and using data to target kids early that are on track to become chronically absent to send a message home that you just said, which is we need you in school to learn.
Do you want to stamp your imprint in a curriculum sense on the district? As we've had, it seems over the years, we've had people like Diana Lamb, we had Deb Gist, the state education commissioner. Lamb had your job at one time, and they all seem to come in with this blaze of change. What is your main priority?
I want to bring swagger back to the public school district. I want to bring pride to the people who work in our buildings. I want parents and teachers to know that we have a school district where a lot of good things are happening and we have a long way to go. There was a Projo headline after one of my first community forums, and the headline was, "No new big changes planned." And not necessarily what you want to see as a superintendent of a district that's trying to improve, but what that conveyed was, I am not here to upset the apple cart. Dr. Lucy, my predecessor, and I both believed in school-based decision-making. So does the mayor, so does the school board. There are a lot of things that people disagree on, but this is one area where we have some common belief. And so my goal with the district is going to be to try to move decision-making more and more to the school level, closest to where the action is with the kids, and to try to help people understand in Providence that we have some very good schools.
So you're talking about empowering principals to a larger degree. Is that it?
It's not just principals. It's the school communities. Principals should not be dictators of small little schools. They should actually be working with their teachers and their parents and their school community to figure out what's best for kids. So instead of the central office saying, hey, we need you to be on page 72, line 13, paragraph 4, activity 1 on October 14th. We say these are the standards that as a teacher and a teaching community, we need you to help our kids reach. Here are some resources. You should pick them as a professional and move your kids towards them as you best see fit.
Test scores released last week show a dip on the state's annual science test. Fewer than 1 in 3 students were proficient. Eighth graders have showed no gains on this test. That's after almost 10 years. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, I think we need to invest more in STEM education. I also think some of this may have been the fact that it was the end of the kneecap. But we need to do more with STEM. We need, and in Providence, we are trying to do this. The governor has actually made an investment in a PTech program that we brought into our high schools, with one of our high schools, which we're very excited about. We need to connect science and technology to work. We need to connect it to the real world. That, to me, is what STEM is really all about.
And PTech, for people unfamiliar with the acronym?
The alphabet soup of acronyms. We love it, don't we?
It is at PCTA, which is the Providence Career Technical Academy.
So right. How about looking at the state education formula going forward? Is it fair to Providence? What do you need to have it changed?
We need a lot more in terms of English language learning, and then I would also add special education gets left behind. English language learners learn differently. We cannot take the same kid with the same formula and put them in a class with a teacher that speaks a different language than they do and think that they're going to do the same. Rhode Island, up until last year, was one of only 4 states, Mississippi, Delaware and Montana, and no disrespect to those three states, but you don't want to be on a list of education with those states that did not have English language learner funding. Every other state in the country has recognized this need, and Rhode Island has been far behind the tide. Luckily, we had leadership that put funds behind it, but it's only 1 year, it's temporary, and it's not even close to addressing the issue. And I think that as a state, we need to really think about where we're going to be in 10 years, because these suburban counties are going to look a lot more like Providence and Pawtucket, and even Cranston is starting to look now in terms of their population. This is the growth in Providence and in the state. Our school district is growing every year in terms of population. We need more school buildings now because we have so many kids going to our schools. That is because the English language learning population is driving that growth, and we need to figure out how to address the needs of those students better.
Why doesn't immersion work for English language learners? I mean, why can't you just say, okay, we don't expect that in the first year or even 2 years you're going to get there, but 3, 4, 5 years down the line?
Well, first of all, it takes, on average, they say 5 to 6 years to really learn the new language that way. Second of all, immersion has been tried in different places, but en masse, it is not going to work. And it's also in an era where we are trying to get kids to become college ready in this language. Insufficient. So we have done some really innovative things. You covered it earlier in the year. We have a dual language program that's emerging at Loro. That'll be our second one in the city. We look at International Charter School as an example of another great dual language program. And if we can try to expand those offerings to our kids, we would like to, because I view English language learners as an asset, because being multilingual in the 21st century in an increasingly global society is a very good job skill. I would not have gotten my first job as a teacher if I didn't speak Spanish, and I don't think I'd have gotten this job if I didn't speak Spanish. I think that they are really important skills that we need to understand and value, and we haven't yet in this society.
The state has now rolled out several programs aimed at getting more kids to go to college. We're now offering free SAT and PSAT testing in the school, free college credits for high school students. There's even a new effort to reduce the cost of college textbooks. Chris Marr, are these initiatives helping?
I think they are, but I think it's early, and I think, once again, we need more. So let me thank the governor, though, very specifically on some of these, because our kids are benefiting directly from them now. SAT we can now do on a weekday. That makes such a difference for children in poverty. It makes such a difference from children who may be working jobs on the weekend. It makes such a difference for kids who don't have the transportation. That is going to be a game changer for our kids. And we have a number of kids that are also taking advantage of the other programs. One thing to understand, Rhode Island is number two in the country in terms of college debt. So it is the second most expensive state in the country to go to school in. The other thing about Providence students that may be surprising to some people, when you look at a national average, not urban kids, not poor kids, everybody in the country, our kids persist in college that graduate from Providence Public Schools at far above the national average. However, they complete college at far lower than a national average. And that, to me, really gets me up in the morning and gets me going, because what it shows me is our kids are willing to come to school. Our kids are willing to work hard. They have that grit. They have that tenacity. But they don't have the resources or the team behind them that other students might have to push you across the finish line. And that means we need to do more.
Providence Superintendent of Schools, Chris Marr, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
And thanks as well to Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Great to be here, Liz.
I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Ian Donis will be back next week.